Are you traveling to foreign countries for work? Do you have clients or colleagues abroad that you'd like to communicate more easily with? Then you should learn to speak a new language and make your business better. Living Language Business courses provide you with the most useful phrases, vocabulary, and cultural tips for business. Try a Living Language Business course for free by using code WSJ2016 at checkout. Visit livinglanguage.com/business to get started.
Two very different views inside Donald Trump's economic team.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong in New York. Donald Trump's economic team splits neatly into two major groups over a fundamental question: would the economy benefit most from more carrots or more sticks? Joining us now from the Washington newsroom is the Wall Street Journal's Nick Timiraos. Nick, you say the stick group largely rejects mainstream thinking on trade.
Yeah, that's right. This is a group of people that are sharply at odds with kind of the Washington establishment consensus over the last 15 to 25 years that said these trade deals would be good for the U.S. because they would allow the U.S. to enhance its stature overseas, and that it would be good for the economy because it would allow the U.S. exporters with more markets. Obviously, what we've seen over the past decade has been something of a hollowing out of parts of the middle class. Labor is cheaper abroad, and so big companies have moved a lot of those production jobs abroad. And while that's been great for American consumers in the sense that we can buy a lot more cheap stuff, right? If you've bought a TV recently, the technology is, pretty slick, and the cost is you're paying the same for a TV that you were 15 years ago that did a lot less, but for the people involved in the production, you're seeing, the job replacement is just not as great. You're taking lower paying service jobs. So that is the critique from this group of maybe we would say trade hawks. And then you have this other group of advisors that are kind of more from the traditional GOP establishment, the supply side economists that were ascendant during the Reagan administration that said we should cut taxes to spur growth, we should cut regulations to spur growth. And so you have something of a meeting of the minds between these two camps of advisors over the primacy of lower taxes and less regulation to spur growth. But the kind of old guard economists are very much in favor of free trade, and they still think that, higher tariffs and stricter border controls and punitive taxes against companies that, move jobs abroad are not, in line with kind of the idea of a free market economy. And so what you have is kind of an uneasy alliance for now. And the question is, as the economic policy team now gets filled out by President-elect Donald Trump, which advisors are going to be ascendant in that administration?
As a candidate, Trump didn't issue the kinds of policy papers you'd typically expect to see. So do we have any broader sense yet for where this debate is headed?
No, that's what makes Donald Trump such an interesting political figure, is that, normally when you're a governor and you become president, or you're a senator and you become president, you've had years and years of, you've developed kind of an apparatus of ideas behind you and of advisors who have fleshed out those ideas for you. And so once you become president, you're taking those wonky policy proposals and you're turning them into legislation, or you have advisors who know what you think and who you agree with, and so you're going to trust them to help fill out the policies. With Trump, we don't have that as much. In some cases, we don't have that at all. So now the question, and really the reason why this transition effort that's underway is being watched maybe even more than usual by the markets, is who takes these jobs could end up having very significant power to flesh out all the sorts of things that the executive branch decides and that it works on with Congress to write legislation that's going to shape, the next decade or more of policy across a range of commerce and industry.
And something worth noting here, while things like tax cuts require the involvement of Congress, there's quite a bit when it comes to trade policy that a president can do unilaterally.
Right. And that's something that perhaps markets here over the past 2 weeks haven't focused as much on, because markets have rallied, ever since Trump's kind of surprise election victory 2 weeks ago. But they're expecting him to do a lot of the things they think would be good for growth, like cutting taxes and spending more money on infrastructure. Those are two things that Congress will have to get involved on. There's some of a sense that, well, he won't do some of the protectionist things that he promised to during the campaign. And that's sort of a risky assumption for the reason you noted, that that trade power is something that Congress has given the executive branch more authority to implement unilaterally. So, Donald Trump can withdraw from NAFTA. That's up to him. And Congress can try to tell him what to do, but it's going to be harder to get agreement from Congress on some of these things, especially when the president already has existing authority from existing legislation to implement tariffs, to take other punitive measures against, say, currency manipulation against China.
As you mentioned in your piece, there is a third group made up mostly of Trump's business associates. Where do they fall in all this?
You see a lot of advisors right now that aren't particularly ideological. They've worked on Wall Street for their whole career. They've worked in business for their whole career. And so, there's a possibility that Trump ends up filling his government with more of these individuals who bring kind of a let's just get business done and let's not be so concerned with whether it is more from the Austrian school of economics or whether it's, whether we're trying to implement certain Keynesian policies. They're just going to go for, let's get practical things done. And so there's a prospect you could see a government run more by a kind of, titans of industry and business who are kind of less involved in some of the partisan trench warfare of Washington that we've experienced over the past decade or more. Of course, there's also a chance that Trump will pick from each of these different groups that have been advising him throughout the campaign. And so you end up with maybe more of a Republican populism, a Trumpian populism that takes from each of these things the different ideas that Trump is most drawn towards. What might that look like? You could see, tax cuts, lower regulation, so we're borrowing from some of the supply-siders on that, with more of the protectionist measures, and then maybe an infrastructure spending bill, and you have business leaders saying, here's where you should be committing federal resources on, research and development, for example. So a fusion of all three of these different groups. There's nothing to say that he's only going to go with kind of one strand of the advisors that he's been relying upon.
It will be really interesting to see how that type of group would govern. Anything else you're watching for in this space?
Well, everybody right now is focused on kind of the senior-most cabinet appointments. So who's going to be the Treasury Secretary, the Secretary of State, other posts like Labor or Commerce. I think it's also important to keep an eye on some of the maybe less widely known positions that are actually as influential, if not more so. And those are some of the executive positions in the White House. So there's the National Economic Council, which is the main economic policy-making body in the White House. Whoever directs that is going to be every bit as important as the Treasury Secretary, because that's really where the White House directs economic policy across these different cabinet agencies. The Council of Economic Advisors is traditionally the academic economists' voice within the White House. So who is the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors that's going to be providing the president with more of kind of the analytical economic, academic economist sort of view on the policies that the president wants to implement? So those two, for example, are positions that probably should, if you're trying to figure out where is Trump going to go, pay attention to those as much as Treasury or Commerce. or labor.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Nick Temeros joining us from the Washington newsroom. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. In the newsroom in New York, I'm Jennifer Strong.
News on the go. Whenever you want it, wherever you want it. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.